Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yesterday, we were going over some of those beloved scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5 about speaking within ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. That's Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. And we will continue on, and a little bit of this in the latter part of Ephesians 5 in this day and age might seem a little controversial, but I think it's God's truth. And when we adhere and build our lives on God's truth, that's always a wise thing to do. Well, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And Bert, I guess I've read it many times as a Christian, but this recent trip you and I have made through the book of Ephesians has simply renewed my love and appreciation for this deep, rich part of God's Word.
I agree with you, Alex, and I have as well. And I have, you know, preached through the book of Ephesians. When I look in my files at preaching for about 50 years, the book of Ephesians, that file is pretty thick. And matter of fact, chapter 5 may have more than any. Now, what I want to do is just a second. I believe chapter 5 can be outlined with the word walk, because we find out it says in verse 2, walk in love. And then, verse 8, walk as children of light. And then, in verse 15, walk carefully. Now, I want to share with you, you put all of those walks, love, light, and carefully, and then you come to verse 22 after you've been said you need to, in order to do that, you got to be filled with the Spirit for you to walk the way you should. The greatest place that that is demonstrated is in the home. And if you need anything for life and godliness, you really need it in the home. And God has given us everything we need to be the fathers and the mothers, the husbands, the wives, the children that God wants us to be. And that's what we're going to look at today, Alex. And I believe it is so important that right before he starts talking about the roles of the husband and the wife is in verse 21. It not only talks about the things in the past of worship and thanking God for everything and being what he wants us to be, but it's also submitting to one another in the home. And when we understand that we submit to God, then when we're in the home, no matter what position you might hold, you're in a better position to carry out what God's will for you is. And that's I love that passage, and I think it's so important. And right now, with things going on in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs and their kicker, Harrison Butker, I'm telling you what, it's front page lines right now, Alex, what we're studying today.
Well, you know, it is. And as we get more and more into Ephesians 5:21 and following, Bert, as I've been reading the headlines and just the consternation and the hair-pulling that many are engaging in over simply his affirmation of family and motherhood, Bert, I got to ask myself, why does the world so push back against God's blueprint for human happiness? You know, yep. Marriage, family, the home, the church, salvation— It's simple, really. God's shown us everything we need for everlasting life and blessing down here. Why does the human race just have such a problem with God's design?
I was reading and looking at different things. I think it's summed up in one word: selfishness. We're so selfish. It doesn't matter what God says. I want it my way. It doesn't matter what makes sense and is common sense. I want it my way. It does not matter what would be good for the common good of others. I want it my way. And so what you have here is each individual selfishly wanting what they want. And no wonder Paul would say, submitting ourselves one to another. When the husband is overruling everything and he wants it his way, it's out of balance. When the wife is saying, no, I'm going to get it my way, it is out of balance. No, notice this. It starts out with working together. We work better together when we fulfill our purpose that God's made us for than we do when we're trying to do it on independent of him and selfish for us.
Oh, amen. Amen. Let me read from God's word here. It says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Goes on, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I got to tell you, These four verses, Ephesians 5, 21 through 24, that's enough Bible truth to make woke leftists have a brain aneurysm almost. But it goes on in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Okay, Bert, I've got a question for you in a moment, but here's the bottom line. You know, it does say wives are to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. But husbands are to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Well, he laid down his life and died for the church. We husbands are to do the same for our wives. Bert, I got to ask you this. You've pastored a long time. So have I. But in doing marriages, I'm going to put Bert Harper on the spot, but he and I are close friends and colleagues. When you did weddings, in the vows, did you include the word obey?
I have, and I do. I still have it there, believe it or not. It was in mine and Jan's, and I didn't see any reason to change it. And so that is there. The word is submit. The word obey. Is there a difference in the terminology? There is some. Obedience is that of just plain out obeying. Submitting has the idea of submitting to the authority over you, you know. And so, yes, I did, Alex, to answer your question.
And I did, too. And usually in the premarital counseling, we would go over Ephesians 5, and I would say, look, let me say what this is not. This is not, and let me repeat, this is not a license for the husband to be a dictator and a mean old bear to bark out orders. Not at all, because Jesus laid down his life for the church. Bert, I love what Dr. Dobson said. I've heard him say it many times, that the family, when marriage and the family operates like God intended, I know you've probably seen this famous quote, everybody's needs are met in mutual love and fulfillment. And it is a beautiful thing. Another subject for another day, perhaps, but there is the biblical view of husband, wife, male and female is called complementarianism, that men and women are equal in worth and value, personhood, but we're complementary, we're different. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Ian mentioned Harrison Butker, and of course, you know, the whole wide world is having a meltdown over, you know, what Harrison Butker said in that graduation speech at a Christian college just a few days ago. But Bert, let me say this. When men are leading the home in Christ-like love and wives are loving their husbands and their children, and the husband views his bride as an incredible gift from God and really tries to be a husband as a worship offering unto God. Look, when the family is what the Lord designed it to be, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It is. Now, this is not a license for the husband to have his wife do things that are contrary to the Word of God. That's
right.
Not it. And it is a time that a woman said, no, I will not. No, I shall not. And I think there's times for that. And so there's equality here in their personhood, equality in their value. It's not less value, but it is a place of submitting, of honoring one another, caring for one another, and humbling each other to carry out their roles and carry out their positions. And so, again, how does that work? You go back and read all of chapter 5. Try not to take these just by themselves without reading what God said before him. Walk in this love. Walk in the light that I have shared with you. Walk carefully in a world gone mad. Be filled with the Spirit so that you can do the things that God desires for you to do. And when you do that, you come in this humbly. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Listen, Jesus humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2. This is so unreal that God would say to us, this is what we need to do. And then let's bring the other part in. He parallels this with the church in Christ, Alex. And this is the relationship we have of him. He leads us in what? In love. It's called sacrificial love. It's not just a domineering attitude. It is a sacrificial love where he cares for us in a way that we cannot ever even begin to understand. And then here Paul says, husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church. Now, Alex, I just want to tell you, it didn't say be willing to die. It says Jesus, he's not only willing, but he did die. When a man and a woman are married, there's some things that you must put aside for the mutual gratification of each. I've had to put some of the things that I thought, well, that would be awesome to do. I laid them aside because it was not compatible with my wife and our marriage, and she has had to do the same thing. So verse 21, repeating it again and again, when you come into the marriage with that mentality and then you find your position that you work in, it works much, much better than it is when two people are trying to grasp the control when only one can have that purpose and that position.
If two different people are trying to steer the car is going to run off the road.
It really is. That's a good
word. I'm going to give you a verse, and we'll have to back up a little bit too, but here is why the church is under attack. The pronoun wars, the redefinition of marriage, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. See, Satan has attacked the family and marriage because marriage is a picture of the gospel. But you and I have said it, that marriage, well, the family, is a gospel tract.
Amen.
Isn't it?
It is. And when you see that, Alex, you understand it better. And listen, this is what he's getting into. Notice what he said. When he throws this out, he's talking about life in the world, life in the church, and now life in the family. We desperately need God's wisdom, God's power, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in order for us to operate in those areas. Without them, again, selfishness takes over and destruction will follow. We'll be back with more. We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here. And it's hard to listen to that music without your head going up and down and your foot tapping a little bit. And so anyway, it is good to have you today. We hope you're enjoying the day. It's a beautiful day here in Northeast Mississippi. We want to pray for the folks in Iowa that had such a horrible storm that came through and destroyed so much. And so We try to keep in mind we have an audience all over America, and there are those that everything is great and others it is difficult and hard. So what we do, we pray with those, and we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And we hope that that will help you today as we pray for those that need our prayers. And we're thankful for the good that God is doing in so many of our lives today. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and Alex, as we left off, again, you were talking about verse 32, and we wanted to expand on it and go back a little bit. I know this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Again, he's talked about that mystery in this book of Ephesians, the mystery in the Old Testament, how the Gentiles and the Jews would be a body of believers called the church. That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Well, it's very, very neat. And let me just say, it's been my privilege to speak at a lot of men's retreats and father-son dinners and marriage weekends. And Bert, have you spoken maybe around Valentine's at a couple's dinner and things like that?
Hey, when I was real young, I had my circuit going to Valentine banquets. As you get older, you get to invited to the senior adult banquets.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of speaking on apologetics, biblical worldview, and debating atheists, and I love doing that. But when I go and I'm asked to speak at a men's retreat and talk about, you know, building a godly marriage, it's convicting. It really is. Now, the Lord has blessed Angie and me a lot, but I'm going to tell you something. Early in our marriage, and I'm going to get back to Ephesians 5, but I was reading 1 Peter 3:7. It says, "Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, I was thinking, well, wait just a minute. You know, giving honor unto the wife, and we are heirs together. Men and women, this is the beautiful thing about the Christian worldview. Now, folks, just hear me out for a minute. People might balk and say, wait a minute. Ephesians 5 says wives submit to their husbands. But in the biblical worldview, men and women are equal before God. 1 Peter 3:7, joint heirs together. Concurrently as heirs of life. Read Proverbs 31. My goodness, way before the feminist movement, which was very negative because it was based on a lot of unbiblical worldview, but you read the Proverbs 31 woman, she, the husband trusted in her, she was an entrepreneur, she was industrious, her name was honored in the city and before God. Bert, let me say, I know many feminists have pushed back against the Word of God, and many people thought marriage and family was unnecessary, but I want to tell you, a biblical worldview of humanity, gender, marriage, family, the responsibilities of both partners, husband and wife, the biblical worldview has done more to enhance the lives of men and women both, and certainly children, than any progressive reinvention that man's ever tried to impose on the human race.
Alex, well said. Let me put a word to all of that: stability. Without Amen. This, there will not be stability. And that's what you have today is chaos. Who's the father? Is he home or is he not? The mom, what's she going to do? Stability occurs when we do it God's way, in our salvation, in our lives. And what is that stability? It's holding one another up. It's holding each other accountable. It's going forward together. And the other word that we've talked about many times, Alex, is together. The husband and wife serving together, submitting to one another. I remember Dr. Adrian Rogers, and a great preacher, loved the word, preach on this. But he said when it came to certain things in their household, he knew his wife Joyce did it much better than he did, and she would make those choices. Now, he said, I stand behind her choices because I know good and well she's better at it than I am, but that does not take away my accountability to have direction and leadership in my home. And so this is not less than, it's not more of, but it is stability, it is togetherness, and going forward for the best of what? The best for the man, the best for the woman, if they're both doing these, the best for the children that you have said, but also best for society, Alex. Society has profited from this model that God laid out in his word.
Well, and let me go back to verse 28 of Ephesians 5. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh or his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. So here's the thing, and this is where that blessing and that happiness, that fulfillment that you desire, men, I'm going to say, wasting time in fantasy football leagues and neglecting your marriage. And nowadays, I know, Bert, I'm in Atlanta in a hotel. Right across from the hotel, there's a big store. It says the Man Cave store. Now, I know we have hobbies, and that's wonderful, but your first priority is to love your wife and invest in your family. And don't let your wife be, you know, not a widow in the sense of the husband having deceased, but don't neglect your wife for hobbies. And we've said it, I'm not going to chase a rabbit here, but at the end of life, you're not going to think about how much time you spent on the golf course. You're going to think about your family and your loved ones. And if just as we love ourselves, we should love the Lord and our spouse even more. And then here's the connection, verse 30. We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. And here's heterosexual monogamy and a binary view of gender. A man and a woman, male and female. Verse 31. And this is right out of Genesis chapter 2. For this cause shall a man leave his father, mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. I'm going to tell you, every pulpit in America throughout the horribly misnamed Pride Month of June, preachers, all you need to preach on throughout every Sunday in the month of June is Ephesians 5:31. Bert, I'm on a soapbox. But I think it's an urgently needed soapbox.
It is. I agree with you. Notice this, man, woman, and listen, you're to leave, you know, you're to cleave. Those two things, leave and cleave. How do you do that? You do that as the man. You do that as the wife. You do as God. And they're joined again. Alex, there's that together. The Bible says it's not good that man should live alone. So what did God make? He made woman. It was a perfect. It was God's idea. We've talked about it. I've said it several times on this radio program. In that first wedding, God officiated. He gave the bride away. He was the best man. and he wrote the license. He did all of that. So marriage is God's idea. And again, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Alex, it's a beautiful picture, and this is a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. There it is, the respect, and it also the man loving his own wife. Only one, his own wife. They're together, and they are mutually valued, and again, submitting themselves one to another under the Lord. Alex, when that happens, you have a marriage. It will have difficulties. Now, let me just share with you. I think I've shared it before. Jan and I are coming up on 50 years of marriage.
Wow.
Yes,
congratulations.
Yes, we are. I'm so excited, and we're thankful that God has helped us and led us. I tell folks she's having to do a lot of neck exercises to make her neck strong, so when she gets to heaven and they put that crown on her for living with me, she can hold it up. And because, listen, God is good when he puts people together. And
amen.
Let me just say this. We got some, maybe, I know school's not out in some places, it is in others, but if there's children there listening, listen, follow God. And look and obey God when it comes to marriage. Make that decision under God's leadership and look for one that they love God as well. They're fellow believers. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, but make sure as best you can that they know Jesus Christ is Savior as well and wanting to serve him. Alex, Jan and I are so different in so many ways, but I can tell you two things we have in common. We love the Lord Jesus with all the heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and we love one another. And amen. Those two things, I want to tell you and take you through some difficult times in your life, can it?
Amen. Well, verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The word there means honor or respect. We had this call several years ago, Bert. In fact, I think you and I were very early in our tenure of doing Exploring the Word together. And a wife called in and she said, the Bible says respect my husband, but she said he's not really respectable. You know, he's not being the husband that I feel like I can respect. What should I do? And I remember you and I were very new in this. But to the best of our ability, you know, we said this, pray and ask for the Holy Spirit of God to give you the strength, but the crop you want to harvest, sow the seed. If you want happiness, the Bible says if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. If you want love, be loving. If you want a man that is respectable, then respect him. Now, bathe it in prayer, and I realize it's probably being simplistic here, but very often people rise to the expectation you have about them. And if you just assume, you know, oh, they're a ne'er-do-well, and you always disappoint, don't say that. Bert, I'm going to say one last thing. Dr. Gary Chapman, you and I both know him. He's been on the show before. One of the greatest books that I know anything about is The Five Love Languages.
Amen.
And Dr. Chapman has said on AFR, he said, since 1968, that's a whole lot of years of counseling and helping people, he said, virtually every marriage I've ever counseled could have been saved or was saved when you know your partner's love language and you try to speak to that. Men crave respect, and when you respect them, they, by God's grace, generally become more and more and more respectable.
Alex,
women,
amen.
Yes.
Preach it.
Continue.
Yeah, believe it or not, I just written down because I take notes because I can forget when I'm thinking of something. Try not to interrupt you, but I'd written down Dr. Gary Chapman, Five Love Languages. And I was going to say the same thing. Let me agree with you. It is so powerful and so good. Let me say one more thing here, and I'll throw it back to you. A great pastor in the past, Harry Ironside, H.A. Ironside.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, if you can get any of his sermons, they'll bless you. I'm telling you, they'll challenge you, but it was great. But a man came to him and says, Dr. Ironside, I'm afraid I love my wife too much? And he said, you do? And the man said, yeah. He said, well, I got a question to ask. And the man got real interested. He said, do you love your wife as much as Christ loved the church? And the man kind of, I don't know about that. And he said, well, you don't love her too much. And so, Listen, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And that's what God says. That is a command. That's what we're to do, men. And I really believe when that happens, if we can love them in their love language and they feel loved, sometimes wives, and I know this is going into counseling a little bit more than just Bible study, Alex, but let me do this. I know I've done a lot of counseling as well, and I know people, individuals, the husband and wife, they knew their husband or wife loved them, but they did not feel loved. And in a marriage, there's got to be some feelings there. That's why Dr. Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Language, find out your spouse and even your children how they feel loved and learn that language as best you can. Alex, I think that's as good advice as I could give here. Depend Amen. Upon Christ and love your wife and learn what their love language is, your husband, and love them in that way. It goes a long way, doesn't it?
It really does. And look, every marriage is a work in progress. It is. I'm going to give that number. We're going to come back and answer questions and take phone calls. Call us if you want to weigh in on the discussions today. It's 888-589-8840. And Bert, we look forward to talking to people after this brief break, don't we?
We really do. And so again, that number, the lines are open, 888-589-8840. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
The devil thought he had a hold of me. He told so many lies that I believed. Got too weak to carry on. I thought that I was too far gone. But then I heard a voice from Calvary.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. So honored that you're listening. The number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Call in with a Bible question. Hey, Brent Austin says that we are inching towards 10,000 people on Facebook, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Many of you have liked us on Facebook, and Brent is so faithful to post good stuff there all the time. So I think it'll be a blessing to you. But Bert, all the people that like us on Facebook, it blesses our heart, doesn't it?
It really does. And so we just enjoy it so much. And again, we send out some pictures ever so often, and we'll get comments. And Brent says, when we get close to 10,000, somebody's going to get a gift. Now, Brent, do you know what gift that is? Have you decided?
Not yet.
But I'm looking. Okay.
I'm looking.
Okay.
I'm gonna come up with something good.
Okay. So all of you that are not on Facebook, but listen, join in, like us. Well, Alex, you ready to go to the phone lines? We got a whole bunch of folks with questions. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
Let's go to Louisiana. Sonia, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well today. Thank you for calling.
I'm so glad I got through. Today, my question for you guys is doesn't have anything to do with what you discussed today, but I just wanted to tell you guys thank you so much for everything that you do, and I enjoy your show. I have a question about... I'm going to try not to get emotional. My dad served the Lord faithfully for 48 years, almost all of my life. And now he's at the end of his life, and he's got Alzheimer's. And it's like watching a slow death. And he even questions God. And here lately, I have been too. Could you guys, you know, help me through this?
Okay. Sonia, let me just share with you. I have been where you've been. My dad... John Maurice Harper was my dad, a godly man, a man that I admired deeply. And Alzheimer's came to be a part of his life, and it was difficult and it was hard for him. And it's like they lose who they are in their mind and even what they say. And you cannot let that present situation overcome who they were, and honestly, who they still are. Don't lose sight of that. Yes, it's going to take patience. It's going to take, I'm thankful that Bert had six sisters that helped so much. So I had more. I'd try to do my part, but it was great. But when it's on one individual, it is beyond difficulty and hard. Sometimes you need to call in some help. But Sonia, one day at a time, understand that some things have happened, and that is their mind is not what the one you know and the one they really are. Alex, would you add?
Let me say this. Dementia is sad for the caregivers, can be stressful. Dementia is even a scary thing. I mean, really. But here's the thing. Let's say you had an injury and you lost some of your physical faculties. You've not lost your identity. And I would say in a similar way, you've not really lost your true identity even when you lose some of your mental faculties, because we're under the fall. There's this thing called the law of entropy, that we're aging, we're winding down. And Bert, one of the most godly, world-renowned leaders of the 20th century, his name was Vance Havner, and he died in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I knew his brother-in-law, Joe Allred, who was his caregiver. And it really troubled people near the end of his life. Here's a man that had preached the gospel faithfully, written 38 books, incredible, incredible man of God, and very influential in Billy Graham going into the ministry. And yet near the end of his life, he said some things that shocked people. It was not Vance Havner. He had lost his mind. And sometimes the words were just randomly coming out. Let me just say, that's one of the reasons. Seek the Lord while you have all your faculties, folks. But then if you're a caregiver and somebody you love, it is just their mind is gone. Understand that, as the Bible says, that our life is hid with Christ in God. And I think we don't define somebody by their identity when they're weak, dying, and at their most frail. We know who they really are. And I don't think God is going to judge somebody when they're in a compromised mental state like Alzheimer's or dementia. Would you agree, Bert?
Good word, every word. Alex, let me share this. And Sonia and those who are listening, we have a program here on AFR called Hope for the Caregiver. It's by Peter Rosenberger, just an awesome man. I've been on his program before. He's been on my program that I do, Exploring Missions, and it comes on Saturday mornings. And matter of fact, this is another reason you'd like to be on Facebook. Brent's going to tell us about that and be on Facebook, so those of you that listen can listen to Hope for the Caregiver. And I can tell you, Sonia, you will benefit from it. And he's not speaking from a point of view of just a classroom. He's coming from real experience that he has had and still continues today. So, Sonia, thank you for that great, great call. I'm going to go to David in Texas. David, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. You guys are cool to listen to. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the love languages. I've taken a 20-question quiz to tell me what mine are. My wife did the same thing. And I think sometimes it's kind of tough for the men to say, I have a love language. But we do.
Yeah.
And it's the 20-question quiz is really a cool thing to do. And that'll explain what our dominant is and what our backups are.
Amen, David. Thank you for that. Listen, I recommend it highly. I talked to Dr. Chapman, and I know Alex knows him better than I. And listen, he hit the ball out of the park with this book, and it would be worth your benefit to buy it and also to take the test, and I think you'd be blessed by it. So thank you, David. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Craig. Craig, thank you for calling.
All right, thank you. My question really pertains to me receiving information about Satan. So Satan, his fall from heaven to hell and being chained was pre-Adam and Eve. If he is chained in hell, how is it possible for him to roam the earth like a roaring lion? And how was he able to present himself, like in the book of Job, to God, and God not be upset or anything? I'm just
okay.
Trying to really understand.
Hey, good
that.
Question. Alex, a lot of this is time frame, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Give us an outline of that as best you can. I'm just going to, because it would be mixed up for both of us. Go ahead and give us that as much as you can.
Yeah, so I do believe that the fall of Lucifer and one-third of the angels happened before the creation. Now, in Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. If you read in Isaiah 14, Lucifer tried to overthrow heaven, and he was immediately ejected like a bolt of lightning, and Lucifer became Satan. Now, the angels that fell, how do we get that? In Revelation 12, verse 4, it's talking about this serpent, this dragon that's Lucifer, who swept a third of the stars from out of heaven and hurled them to earth. Now, the dragon wanted to kill Israel and the man that was born among the Jewish people, that was Jesus. But here's the thing, back to your question. See, Lucifer, Satan, is not in chains of darkness right now. Jude 1, the New Testament book of Jude, Jude verses 6 and 7 says this of the one-third of the angels that fell with Lucifer. These angels, which kept not their first estate, which was heaven, but they fell from their habitation, are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment day. Now here's one more verse. I'm going to throw it back to you, Bert. In 2 Peter 2, 4 and 5, some of the fallen angels are held in a prison. It says that some of these angels are delivered into chains of darkness reserved under judgment. Now, there's a word for hell. There's several words, like Hades, but Tartarus is only used one time in the Bible in that 2 Peter passage, that there are some demons, fallen angels, that are going to be released during the tribulation period. And I mean, they are going to wreak havoc. But Lucifer and at least part of the fallen angels are roaming the earth right now. And sadly, many are under their deception and sway, aren't they, Bert?
They really are. And God is the one had to present himself to God. God was in control. It wasn't Lucifer coming in and, oh, you know, I'm not at that point. It was under God presenting themselves that, and God would let him know where he stands. And so praise the Lord, for God is in control. That's what I want to know and make sure of. Thank you so much. Brent, let's go to Philip in Texas. If we can. Philip, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go right ahead, brother. Thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call. I listen to your show as much as I can. I'm interested in, I heard of agape. Now, is that God's love?
Okay. Thank you, Philip. Mm-hmm. Agape love. It is, Alex, I want to ask you, I don't know your literature much more than me. Is agape, that Greek word for love, found anywhere else in literature besides the New Testament that you know of?
You know, I actually think it is in some literature. However, it is in the biblical sense, the biblical context gives it its true meaning, that it is the divine love, the highest love, the love of God for the human race. The Greeks had four words, eros, phileo, storge, and agape. Eros is love between a husband and wife. Phileo is brotherly love, like Bert and I love Brent Austin. Storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, is like love for an inanimate object. I love peanut butter. I love pizza, right? Which is true. But agape love is that biblical love for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. So it was a word that people in the first century would have known, but it's really a love that only God can show. Now we can, to a degree, under the Holy Spirit's guidance, have that love from God, but the Bible says God is love. God is that agape.
Let me put it as best I can, far as what we do is sacrificial love. And I tried to describe that. We're willing, most of us guys that love our family, we're willing to die for our wives, willing to die for our children. I've said it, I've heard it said, you know, you can mess with me, don't mess with my wife and my kids. You know, Alex, that's
right.
And there's some in that. It just really is. And now when you got grandchildren especially. But it is a sacrificial love that we die to self. And we do that for serving the Lord, but we also do that some in marriage, that we sacrifice some of those things that we still hold to our personality, who we are. But listen, we don't have to have our way. And Jesus, he said, I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father. So what we do as husbands in loving our wives, we want to show our wives our love for them in a real, real way, sacrificial. So agape love, not quite there, but it's as close as human beings as we can get. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Joe. Joe, thank you for calling.
Hello, gentlemen. I have a question in regard to beliefs that someone espouses as a Seventh-day Adventist, and I know you've addressed the soul sleep issue a number of times, but something that I've heard is that they don't believe in man having an eternal soul, and as such, when those people are put into hell at the end time, that their souls are literally consumed by the fire and that they do not suffer from eternal punishment or, you know, eternal separation from God.
Okay, Alex, I know a good bit, but is that part of it? Do they believe in the it would be the annihilation of the soul, would it not be?
Yeah, this is called annihilationism, and it really was an idea that came about in the late 19th century. The Adventist group, we've dialogued with a lot of these people, and I know some really do believe in Jesus, and then others believe it's the gospel plus Saturday worship, and you know, we don't really have time to completely deconstruct that. It is a denomination that I think has some false teachings that it came about after the Second Great Awakening, which the Second Great Awakening in the mid-1800s was really, there was a lot of emotionalism and some things that traditional Orthodox Christianity just didn't hold. Many of the Adventists believe in, Bert, what is sometimes called soul sleep, that people die and they're slumbering until the resurrection. But the idea that those that are unsaved are annihilated, that's not biblical. No, the spirit of man exist everlastingly somewhere, either heaven or hell.
You know, when I read Luke 16 about the rich man that went to hell, the whole idea, he would still be there today. That lets you know how severe it is. Trust Christ. If you've never trusted Christ, today would be the day that you'd say, Lord, I want you in my life. I forgive me of my sin. I come to you completely, asking you to save me and be Lord of my life. I pray that would happen in your life. Well, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.